flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Belongs to the Caps. Send away Protas. Alexei Protas pulls on.
They get the draw. They have their assignments laid out for them. Protas gives the Caps a victory 3-1 today.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. A lot of Patriots talk on a Bruins Thursday. We'll get back to the Pats. Jerod Mayo, his job security. Drake May, should he play on Sunday? And, of course, what are you doing with the number one pick? Should the Patriots get the number one pick? 617-779-7937. That's your phone number to get in touch and your text line. But as mentioned, it's also a Bruins Thursday. We're joined by Andrew Raycroft, as we are every Thursday here on Jones and Keefe. He's brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. What's going on, Razor?
Not much, gang. Happy New Year. Hopefully everyone's holiday was awesome.
Happy, you as well.
American and Canadian New Year to you as well. Bruins didn't ring things in so hot. They played very well under Joe Sacco since moving on from Jim Montgomery. They have lost 2 of 3 going into the new year. They get the Rangers tonight. They sit number 3 in the Atlantic Division. They are just 4 points out of first place, although they have Tampa in the rearview mirror with a bunch of games in hand. What exactly are the Bruins? What is this team? What are they capable of this year now that they've kind of leveled out to a degree under Sacco?
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. They've leveled out and they've gotten back to the identity of defense first and playing with structure through the neutral zone in their defensive zone, which has allowed them to create some more offense. We're halfway through the season. There's still a long way to go. I think this team is still fairly... It needs the power play needs to get better. The special teams continues to need to get better. The PK has been better, but it still has nights where it's given up 3 goals, which is wild. So still a ways to go for this group, but I think the pieces are in place and there's probably a few pieces out with that throughout the league that can allow this group to go on a run in a few months.
What do you think the biggest issue is with the power play? I'm sure if it was an easy fix, they'd have already done it, but when you look at the personnel, I mean, I feel like it should be a lot more productive than it is.
I agree, and it's kind of the same as it was last year when it was good, or the year before. Of course, the year before with Bergeron, Krejci, it's a little bit different. We probably thought this drop-off was coming last season, and it didn't. For me, it's the lack of shot threat. David, of course, is a shot threat, but beyond that, there hasn't been enough of it. Whether it's over on the right side with Brad Marchand or the bumper that they've tried to use with Lindholm. And then, of course, up top, no Mac. You know, McAvoy just hasn't had enough shot threat. Teams aren't scared of it enough. I think also the other thing, too, is Hampus Lindholm's been out of the lineup now for 6 weeks, and we haven't seen him play for Joe Sacco as head coach. And I think his ability to kind of come in and out of that first power play unit and certainly beyond the second unit helped the power play, because he does have a great wrister. His ability to get through traffic is a threat, and he hasn't been able to obviously play.
What have you thought of Coyle in the top six and on the wing?
I think he's a little bit freed up. I think he doesn't have to be quite as responsible defensively. He's not starting in his own zone like he does as a third line center almost exclusively. So I think it's freed him up a little bit. I think we saw the benefits of that both in the before the holiday break and then right after it, where that Lindholm line, the Marchand line, they scored in three of the four games and looked really good together with some chemistry. So I think Coyle up on the wing, it just allows him to shoot the puck and not distribute as much and be a little bit more north-south on the wing.
Now, you mentioned about the halfway point for the season. Which guy to you has played better than expected? And then on the flip side of that, which guy to you has not played as well as expected through, 39, 40 games?
Well, the easy one's Mark Kastelic. I think he's been the most consistent forward for the Boston Bruins since the first day of training camp and first preseason game. He's been in the mix. He's done everything he's necessary. He's produced a little bit of offense on top of that. I would probably put Brazeau with him just a little bit. You know, Brazeau's looking, you know, he's on pace to score 20 goals this season. This is his first, you know, I know he was really good at the end of last year and in the playoffs, but this is his first go-around in the NHL. He's a rookie, and I think he's shown really well. Unfortunately, the guys that haven't, Trent Frederick's right at the top of the list, right? Coming in as an unrestricted free agent year, you scoring 20 goals last year, really thought he had taken the next step to be a consistent 20-goal guy and a 25-goal guy, get on the power play more and more special teams, and it just has not gone Freddie's way in the first half, and he looks shook about it a little bit.
Okay, I want to get to Swayman in a minute, too, because I think he would be on the underachievers list. But on Frederick specifically, you think that's in his head to a degree, the contract, the whole situation? Do you think that's part of the issue there?
Well, I think that I can't imagine it not being. I mean, anytime you're in that, you know, you're in your contract year. And when it doesn't go well, it compounds. And so now not only is he thinking about his contract, but he's just trying to figure out his game and wondering where, when, and why he can't get in the mix as much as he is or did last season, I should say. So I think that has the contract certainly has something to do with it, but there's a lot of guys that have great years in their contract year as well. So I think it's a combination of just not playing great, but also having some external stuff.
Feels like Swayman turning around at least a little bit. I mean, if you look at sort of month by month, he's coming off his best month. Goals allowed, 2.58, and the wins are there. Now, some of that is the opponent, but 7-2 in his last nine games.
Razor, do you agree? Do you agree he's been?
I guess I didn't really ask. I didn't really put a.
Do you agree he's
rounding
into
the end
form?
Of that?
Question mark.
So yes, I certainly do. And
I just stopped talking. That's my fault. Go ahead.
There's numbers that back it up. In the last 13 games, he's given up three or less in 12 of them. The only one is an eight spot. So that's why some of these numbers don't quite look as good as they probably should. He's 7-2-1 in his last 10 games. He's playing really well. What's happened is he's had an 8-goal-against game, a 7-goal-against game, a 6-goal half a game, and that just crushes your numbers halfway through the season. That's why the Bruins' numbers have been so good over the years for their goaltenders, because those games just never popped up. If they lost, they would lose 3 or 4-1 rather than giving up 5 goals in the third period to Winnipeg and really kind of mail it in. So Jeremy's getting there. I think his game's really solid. I loved his game prior to Christmas against Buffalo. I thought he's moving really well. In Edmonton, he gave up the poor goal, but I thought he moved really well in that game as well. So no, I think he's in a pretty good spot. Again, 7-2-1 in his last 10. 12 of 13 games, three goals and under, is those all starting to round into form here for him.
Before I let you go, I heard Milbury talking about this with Greg this morning. Just the idea of the Patriots' approach in this final game of the year, as an ex-athlete, like, how aware are you of guys are being rested, these guys are different than the rest of the team? Like, how much do you pay attention to that within a locker room? How much are those dynamics at play with the Patriots and their decision-making with Drake May, for instance, in a meaningless game? Do you put him above the team? Do you save that guy? How does that all play out in a locker room?
So if you're on a winning team, you completely understand the resting. That goes without saying. You know how that works. On a losing team like this, I can't – like, the whole idea of resting Drake May, like, the guy, he's got one win in his career. He's been trying to play in the NFL his entire life. He's finally a rookie. Like, the idea of resting him would probably not sit well with veteran guys in the NHL. That narrative is odd to me. Again, he's far from deserved that. I know he's had a pretty good season, but again, he's got one win in his career, and he needs all the reps he can get to continue to get better. So when you're on a losing team, everything bothers you, and certainly a young rookie getting rested as a veteran guy, having to go out there and maybe you don't have a contract next year, and you're going out there and maybe blowing a knee out just as like, That certainly wouldn't sit well in most pro locker rooms.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, we just had another example of the NHL's Winter Classic. What do we have? Wrigley Field, Blues, Blackhawks. Bruins have been involved in a ton of these. Do you have a favorite moment of the Winter Classic, and or do you still like this? Is this still something that, you enjoy?
This one didn't go very well this season, and Chicago's really bad, and they're 0-5 now in the history, so they should probably leave those guys out of it from now on. This is bad, and of course I'm as pro NHL on these airwaves as anybody is. But I didn't even know the game was yesterday. I thought it was yesterday. It completely missed the mark this season. Whether playing it within 12 other NHL games, having two teams that no one's really interested in. I've enjoyed it. I think it's good, but like most things, and especially in this world and this society, it gets tired, I suppose. So it'll be interesting to see how the NHL goes forward, because between the Winter Classics and the Stadium Series, and there's a lot going on, and it's hopefully not losing too much of its luster.
Well, the first one couldn't have gone better. I still remember like where I was.
Sid Crosby and the Sabres.
And Ovechkin, yeah. Right? Wasn't it Ovechkin versus – I thought it was Ovechkin versus Crosby, wasn't
it?
I
thought it was outdoors in Buffalo. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
It was yeah, go ahead. But who was playing in the game?
No, there was – the first outdoor one was Edmonton in Montreal, and it was like minus 50 in the NHL. It was wild. It was up in Edmonton. It was like, it was crazy. And that was in 04, because that was right when I kind of but the first Winter Classic, the best Winter Classic, considered the best, where they've done all the documentaries, is Sid in Buffalo. They had the snow piling up.
Yeah, it was snowing.
They go to a shootout, and they had to clear the ice like every 5 minutes because of the snow. It was so they've had a lot of great ones, like the Detroit and Toronto had 100,000 people in the Big House in Michigan. We know the ones at Fenway Park. We forget about the one that was at Gillette. That was my favorite because I played the alumni game the day before, and that ended up being a lot more entertaining than the actual real game on Sunday. So, again, they've had some really cool, and it's been amazing for the NHL. It's just this year they lost the mark, and whenever you start losing the mark on these things, you wonder if it's run its course or you have to kind of maybe we spread this out over a couple of years.
Okay. He's Andrew Raycroft. Joins us every week here on a Bruins Thursday. You can check him out on Nesson and on Twitter at Andrew Raycroft. Razor, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much.
Love it, guys. Thanks. Have a great weekend.